Our next speaker is Dr. Jide Idris. He's a commissioner for health from Lagos State in Nigeria, where they have been successful in controlling Ebola.
Can I say good morning, ladies and gentlemen? I thank you for inviting me here to share our experiences on the containment of Ebola disease. As a preamble, well, like I've always told people, we've had a series of infections worldwide. We still continue to have them because public health will continue to be a major challenge, especially in this era of urbanization, population explosion, and especially in Africa, where you have fragile health systems, huge population, and poverty. Talked about plague, influenza, H1N1, now is Ebola, it could be something else later. Like everybody has said, I'm not going to go over what has been, we all know how this thing started, what the situation is right now. Right now, Ebola has been found in about 8 countries now, including Mali, and 3 continents, Africa, Europe, and North Africa, US already here. Like some speakers have said, up to November 7th, we've seen almost 15,000 cases with over 5,000 deaths. But I must say that of all these, Nigeria contributed 20 cases and 8 deaths. And the question is, how did we do it? On October 20th this year, Nigeria was certified Ebola free. And people have asked the question, how did we do it? A lot of rumors. Some rumors said that we killed, just pulled a lot of people, we weren't going to kill them and just forgot about them. But I'll tell you, that's not true. I think what we did was a combination of commitment of government, collaboration of different stakeholders, especially our state government, the federal government, UNICEF, WHO, the people, so many people. And basically everybody had his own expertise and resources brought to bear. Again, with the foundation we had in Lagos State, so the matter of putting all these things together under a particular structure that even our partners advised us to do, that is the incident management systems. And under a full structure, we integrated responses, we commanded responses, and that's how we were able to do it. This is the map of Africa, that's Nigeria as you see it. On the right side, that's the map of Nigeria. Nigeria basically, I would say, in short, has a population of over 170 million people worldwide. And some of us believe that Ebola was declared an international emergency when the news got that this Ebola virus had reached Nigeria. Everybody, we in Nigeria, we have some terrible reputation outside of our country. But no problem. A population of 170 million people, with the country divided into 36 states and the federal capital territory. But I must say, all the cases we had, a huge portion of the cases we had, came from Lagos State. This is a map of Nigeria, and that's that tiny state, Lagos State. I've blown it up at the bottom here. But Lagos State is the smallest state in the country. It's the nerve center of Nigeria. It has a population of about 22 million people. And everybody wants to come to Lagos State. Population density is huge. And it is the third fastest growing city in the world. It's supposed to be the seventh largest economy in Africa. And when this thing came to Lagos State, everybody was scared. There was no doubt about that. But again, we were able to mobilize, we were able to contain this without, I would say it was tough. But some of us, I think one of the major success factors was the fact that as a state government, let me put it again, 20 cases. Out of 20 cases in Nigeria, 16 were from Lagos State. And 4 from Rivers State. Rivers State is another tiny state at the bottom of Nigeria there. But again, the cases we saw in Rivers State were actually transported from Lagos State because we missed that in some cases. So all the cases, actually, the whole of activities happened in Lagos State. Now, how did they do it? As far back as 2000, Lagos has achieved the mega city status of over 10 million people, and that population has been growing. And I would say to people that one of the things that we had was that we had political commitment. The government has a vision, because the plan was to make Lagos City an economic magnet. And to do that, there are certain things we decided to embark upon: transportation, security, housing, environment, and then health. And one of the things we believe in is that you should be able to prepare for any emergencies in any city. And that's one big justice. So there were structures we had in place, mechanisms we have in place, a capacity we built, and putting all this together when this Ebola crisis started. And that's how actually what happened. So before then, we had this Lagos Emergency Management Agency, which was created just in anticipation of any disaster that might come up. And this agency had developed, we had developed capabilities, we mapped out emergency response actions. And as a matter of fact, about 6 months before this Ebola thing started, we had two conferences. And the last one, one of the topics was, should we have an epidemic, what would we do? It was a way of our way of preparing, building the capacity, preparing for things like this. So we had first responders, second responders, as part of emergency response plans that were ready to go. We had a lot of hospitals. One of them was an infectious disease hospital in mainland Yaba. When we first heard of this in March that Ebola was in West Africa, like, we decided there and then that apart from sensitizing people on Ebola, of course everybody went to the net, we sought knowledge about what Ebola was all about. But again, we decided we're going to designate that hospital as the treatment and isolation center should we have a case of Ebola. We had our ambulance services, all of this came to bear when we were trying to contain the Ebola virus. We had a public health law, and during this crisis, we had to invoke part of this law, especially people who did not respond to quarantine or being there confined to places. We had the coroner's law, the issue of cremation. We had a problem with fighting the people here to set up this. But again, when that index case first came, it was that crematorium again we used to cremate in, and we stopped it. The sanitation law, we have integrated disease surveillance system response. These have been built up over the years. We had used that to address cholera issue. We had used that to address other issues. But again, when this happened again, is the people, the system we put in place, that in collaboration with the decontamination people, the epidemiology that we were able to go around to various parts of Lagos to see, to do contact tracing and trace all these places. So, over the years again, Lagos has had gathered, we've had our share of emergencies. We've had two air crashes. We've had pipeline explosions that resulted in people who got burnt, over 100 people. We had flood. We've had cholera. We had cases of H1N1. And putting all this together, those are building up experiences for us in the state, at least to be able to combat any, whatever that might come up. And so, when we had the news in Gede, whatever it is, initially sent out fact sheets to people, especially health workers, the masses, we had, public address system. Anyway, we all know how the index case was set up. I mean, came into the country. We contained it because this man came through the airport. Nobody knew what he had. Eventually thought it was malaria. But he went to a private hospital, and all the cases that came in contact with were health workers, and those are the initial cases that were positive cases. But as soon as we did this, we set up that emergency operation systems. We pulled all the activities together under one particular center with the command and control structure. So we built facilities. We set up 5 units, a PID and lab committee unit. This unit was involved in doing laboratory confirmation of cases that were suspected, aggressive contact tracing, decontamination. If you went to a place, somebody turned positive, a team moved the person out into the isolation unit, and the building was decontaminated by the same unit. So it was a collaborative effort from various people. Corpses were positive were immediately buried or disposed of. We had point of entry committee. Because Nigeria is huge, we have very large ports of entry, airports, seaports, and land borders. And the activity was that we needed to increase those activities at those borders, because that's how the first case came in, through the border. So we set up screening activities, and as we were doing all this, just pictures of screening activities at the Kenya there. The case management committee. This was to deal with cases that turned positive and they were brought out from the various homes into that center. We had to increase the bed capacity because we were expecting a large number of people to be infected. So up to point, we built up again with generators, boreholes, water, this like that. I think we had about 80 bed space just in case to treat people. These are pictures of these are the wards. The case manager, again, we had ambulances, standard operating procedures are provided to us by WHO, CDs, etc. And, of course, building isolation centers. This is a crematorium. Now, a major aspect of our policy was public enlightenment. This was massive. We went to every nook and cranny of Lagos State, including the whole of Nigeria later. Advocacy stakeholders, market men and women, community development associations, traditional religious leaders, went to churches, mosques, just to propagate the sensitized people, schools, transport operators, mortgage operators, etc. We developed messages, leaflets, pamphlets, radio jingles, etc. That would say. We also use the social media, VOC SMS, that would disseminate to various people, IEC materials, sort of hard media appearances to various people. This is a picture of people who went to the border just to sensitize people at the border there, telling people how to wash hands in terms of Ebola. The one on the right was traditional healers were sensitizing them. Of course, we use the social media platform. We bulk up SMS. We had a helpline, Ebola 0800 Ebola Help, website, Facebook, Twitter. And more importantly, we went into the community, massive community engagement, house-to-house mobilization, motorized campaigns, road shows, even used in Nollywood, the local actors, and community dialogue. All this we did because then there was a lot of rumors, a lot of poor level of Ebola. We needed to debunk that. These are pictures of people going around. Yeah. This is people who were called the school proprietors trying to enlighten them, road shows. All along as we were going, we were training people on and off. We trained different people, health workers, people, infection prevention control, mass communication, case management. People had to put on the PPE, had to reduce the PPE. These are training sessions. Now, we had 20 cases. And we did analysis of those cases. I mean, of course, data collection was online because people were going on the field and they were collecting data by sending this data back to the EOC center. We have 20 cases. This is just an area where these cases came from local governments, And if you look at the EOC, each team came together in the morning. They had a short meeting and they all went out to their various fields and they sent data down to the center. In the evening, this data collated, ready for the evening meeting for briefing. For all the cases we had, about 75% of them were between the ages of 20 and 49. We had more females than females. The frequency of symptoms were fever, fatigue, vomiting, diarrhea, etc. 70% of those cases had direct physical contact with Ebola case, or whether that's the initial case or the secondary cases. 20% had contact with the body fluids, and 5% with leaning. We had a lot of challenges. If you remember when this happened, our doctors nationally were on strike. And because of the fear of Ebola, everybody was running away. So initially, we did not have the mix and the quality of number of people. We had to call for volunteers. And when these volunteers came, we offered them financial incentives, including life insurance. And that's how we were able to get more people to come up. And these people were training and training. We had the issue of invasive contact, hostile contacts, who did not even come out initially with the full story. And again, that took quite a while. Some hid information. Of course, the issue was stigmatization. The people who were just working with us, some of them could not even go home because everybody was scared. Those of them who had the disease have been stigmatized up to today. So there are things we needed to do over that. There were rumors based on religious beliefs, religious cultural beliefs that we have to counter. So we traced everything. So the election of the copy of the governor, we had a meeting with the survivors of this Ebola. On the whole, we had 9 survivors. The second was the hospital, the first hospital, the private hospital where the first came in. When we shut down for a while, we reopened and decontaminated. People are still scared to go back there now. But the government just trying to alert to. What are the key success factors? Political will, leadership, and teamwork. We have good collaboration between governments, partners, aggressive contact tracing, and monitoring a seamless linkage of surveillance and contact tracing activities. We active rumor alert investigations. We investigated every single rumor, everything that came up. Massive public enlightenment, standard operating procedures and protocols are provided to us by WHO and all our contacts, mobile telephone technology, training and retraining, and we have, of course, support from different private holders. What have we planned as way forward? We know that Nigeria, yes, is Ebola free. For as long as we have a situation in Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea, we are not out of the woods yet. The first thing we said was that the state and the whole of the country will continue to be fully vigilant, will continue to strengthen our ports of entry, continue to train and retain the health workers, the people, upgrade our surveillance systems, emergency response, and public enlightenment. As a matter of fact, we said we're going to go into research, upgrade our infectious disease center, go into research work, and right now we're discussing with a group here to build up research capability, looking into use of convalescent serum to treat patients. And of course, we're still considering sending a team to Sierra Leone to assist if where possible. Well, I'm short of that. I thank you very much for listening.